This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. This is the Daily Digest with me, T. Xiao Yi, and joining me today are Juliet Jacobs and Sharmila Ganesan. If you've just joined us, this is our brand new show happening at 2 p.m. from Monday to Friday, where we discuss a few local and international news to give you something to think about as you get through the afternoon. Earlier, we talked about a bus cafe in Tokyo that provides a safe space for teenage girls at risk of sexual exploitation. Sharmila, what's happening on social media?
Well, we have a poll up talking about social media, specifically. Would quitting social media make you happier? And we have some pretty interesting responses. 48% of people said yes, quitting social media would make them happier. 29% said yes, it would make them happier, but they can't let go. And 23% said no. We have a few responses. Norman Arif said it's easier to be sarcastic in real life without offending anyone. Perhaps that's true with things like tone of voice and so on. And Amirul said, it's like asking if work can make you happy. I'm not sure, Amirul, whether you...
Maybe
he works in social media, so he can't get away.
Or maybe he means that social media has become so essential to life. It's like you have to work. Right. And it's like asking if that would make you happy.
I suppose
quitting work will make you happy.
It might for many people, but you just can't let go.
You can't let go, exactly.
And finally, Gary Loke says, to be specific, stopping using Facebook will make him happier, maybe because there are many junk users on Facebook. He says his Twitter account has more quality users, so maybe it's about deciding which social media works for you. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yeah, so the reason we were, you know, putting up this poll about quitting social media is because that it would seem that for some people, being on social media is bad for their mental health, as our second story will tell you.
Yes, so anyone who follows Netflix's Black Mirror, they know that the series often comments on the ugliest aspects of a digital society and, you know, how... And now, actually, one of its actors is actually experiencing it firsthand. So Will Poulter, who appears as Colin Rittman in the... everyone's talking about it now, the choose-your-own-adventure drama Bandersnatch. He's quit Twitter following the response to his role in, you know, that particular Black Mirror episode. So... he didn't give specific examples of the criticism that led him to quit, but, you know, memes have been surfacing since the show's release that make fun of his looks. Mm. And, you know, comments about his appearance, you know, they were posted after Bandersnatch came out, which was just on the 28th of December. And he announced he was leaving Twitter. Sorry, that's less than a week later.
I mean, he's hardly the first famous person to have quit social media because of online bullying. It's really quite horrible, the things that some of these celebrities, I mean, not just celebrities, but in this case, a lot of these famous people have gone through. Kelly Marie Tran, who was in Star Wars, deleted her Instagram account due to online harassment from people who decided that they didn't like her character in Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Rose, who, I'm sorry, but was one of my favorite new characters. you know, they posted hateful messages on her Instagram photos. Another young actress, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, she quit Twitter in June 2018, also Pride Month, after Twitter users began attacking her with a homophobic meme, which was seemingly attributed to her. And Millie has actually previously shown her support for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation.
There are so many more examples out there, both celebrities and normal folks like us from all over the world. And Kelly Marie Tran, whom you mentioned, for her part, she opened up about her experience in an August 2018 op-ed for the New York Times, where she wrote, "It wasn't their words, it's that I started to believe them. Their words seemed to confirm what growing up as a woman and a person of color already taught me, that I belonged in margins and spaces, valid only as a minor character in their lives and stories."
Yeah, so I think a lot of the hate that she got was, you know, about her ethnicity, about, you know, who she was, and, you know, it's just terrible things. But there was another actor, Leslie Jones, who received insane amounts, you know, of racist, hateful, you know, downright even threatening tweets, you know, because of the all-new Women Ghostbusters movie that was released. She took to Twitter also to defend herself against what she called a personal hell, you know, saying that she'd be taking a break from the social media site. But For her part, you know, I mean, unlike Kelly and Millie, who, you know, have quit Twitter, who've quit social media and not come back, she actually came back and she took some further action. So here's a clip of an interview with her and Seth Meyers where she kind of explains, you know, the whole situation.
A lot of people started attacking you on Twitter, using some pretty awful terminology.
Terrible.
And I was very proud of you. Knowing you, I knew you'd stand up for yourself when that happened. And then you used Twitter as a forum to draw attention to it. And, I mean, it seems like maybe this is going to be the beginning of some progress towards what happens on Twitter.
I hope so. I mean, first of all, let me let everybody know that I did not leave Twitter, okay?
You're back.
Yeah, I didn't leave. I just signed out. Because I wanted to deal with what was going on.
Yeah.
And then I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and I was like, they said I left Twitter. Wait. I didn't leave. But what's scary about the whole thing is that the insults didn't hurt me. Unfortunately, I'm used to the insults. That's unfortunate. But what scared me was the injustice of a gang of people jumping against you for such a sick cause.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like, I mean, they just like everybody has an opinion and it all comes at you at one time. And they really believe in what they believe in.
Yeah.
And it's so mean. Like, it's so gross and mean and unnecessary. So it was just like one of those things of like, okay, so if I hadn't said anything, nobody would have ever knew about this.
Yeah.
It would have never, all those people still would have an account. And it was one of those things of like, hey, you know, when I approached Facebook, they was on it. Twitter, I was on them. I was like, yo, it's okay. It's like, that's my favorite restaurant. I love the food there. Three people just got shot in front of me. Y'all need to get some security.
You know, there's a lot of really smart people at that company, and they really need to try to start sorting out not just how to protect people like you, but the people that don't have this public forum, because I think it happens to so many people.
And I met the CEO of Twitter. There is a CEO. It's just Jack.
Yeah.
And he was cool. He was cool. They helped me out.
That's good.
We got, like, a whole bunch of accounts, you know, taken off of Twitter. And to let people know, freedom of speech, because I know a lot of people came at me with that, you know, hey, you mess with freedom of speech. Hey, hate speech and freedom of speech, two different things.
Two different things.
Yeah, so I really love that. You know, hate speech and freedom of speech, two very different things. Mm. And, so in Leslie's case, as we heard, you know, she had access to the CEO of Twitter and she took action. But, you know, what do you think? You know, would you quit and completely quit completely or would you just take a break? Would you try to take action, you know, if something like this happened to you?
I think these things can be hugely challenging, right? Because I've seen some of the tweets that were tweeted at her. Mm. And really, kudos to her to even begin to deal with some of that. Because I don't think most of us are used to getting that kind of bile thrown at you and knowing what to do.
Yeah.
I would not at all blame people if all they wanted to do was just stop.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I would be able to take action, maybe take a break and come back perhaps.
Yeah. I also think that it depends on the kind of supportive environment you have around you, the networks and the social support that you have. If you wanted to come back again, are you ready for what you might be facing? You know, people, by quitting, you send a message, but you know, there are enough trolls out there on social media who are just going to keep coming back at you. So I think we have to take it on a case-by-case basis whether we ourselves are prepared to, you know, at what level are we prepared to deal with this?
Yeah, and it's interesting you mentioned support networks as well, because, you know, similarly, you know, to all the hate that she got, you know, when she quit Twitter, a lot of people actually, you know, showed their support to her and said, you know, come back, don't let them, you know, you are a wonderful actor. You know, that sort of support came in as well. I mean, it didn't really influence her decision to come back, you know, but that's a wonderful thing that came out of all of this awfulness.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that whole act of quitting or, you know, taking a break, I know in an episode of Digital Desires that we did back in 2017, this was on online harassment. Our host, Ahmad Fuad Rahmat, actually spoke of how leaving social media is a form of resistance.
Actually, there's a good point to note. Opting out is, in a way, quote-unquote, resistance as well, because there's an economy behind this. Facebook likes the shares and the retweets, and they thrive on the scandalous nature of these exchanges and the controversy that it invites, right? Because people are going to screenshot, they're going to see, oh, how can I be a part of this, blah, blah, blah. So Engagement is good, but opting out is also an option that we can consider, you know, because sometimes that's what it would take to just have some silence, you know, however briefly, right? Yeah. So before getting back into the mire and the mess, just some time for yourself to just, you know, sounds like collecting yourself before re-entering is a good idea.
Yeah, it's part of self-care. Yeah. It's an act of warfare. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It feels like it. So, warfare is yes. Your form of resistance, you know, to those awful unknown people who, and often it is unknown people,
it's
isn't
psychological
it?
Warfare, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. yeah. But, you know, when it comes to like threats of rape, for example, mm-hmm. or you know, murder, which I think Leslie faced,
yes.
You know, those are serious threats because you never know who is the crazy mm-hmm. person who
Absolutely.
Is going to act on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think it is about social media that makes people become so mean? You know, in that same episode of Digital Desires, which was also with Mariam Lee of Project Dialogue, she spoke of meeting some of her online commenters in person. So she, you know, she faced a lot of hate online as well. So here's what she had to say.
I don't meet the trolls. although there are, I have identified a few, you know, individuals, you know, when, and then I would, you know, meet them accidentally in, you know, public events and things like that. But usually when they see me, they just walk away. And subsequently, months after that, they would still be abusing me online and things like that. And I just accepted that I cannot escape. No matter what, no matter where I go, no matter how careful I am, I just cannot escape from meeting them, whether I want to or not.
Yeah.
So the best thing I can do is really just show that I'm human, because they dehumanize me all over the place. To let that get to you is just going to be crippling for myself, and I cannot afford to be psychologically crippled.
Or in a way, them avoiding you means that somehow they've let you get to them, and it's really weird, right?
This sort of dynamic. I don't get it either.
Yeah, it's really strange.
So strange, right? So free with the comments online, but in person they avoided mm-hmm. her, you know. Yeah. And I guess
cowardice,
you know,
I call it.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I ask you that question. You know, why do you think people are so mean online?
I think it's because it being online gives you some semblance of anonymity. It allows you to indulge in your worst impulses, yes. thinking that people can't tell that it's you.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel there's a sense of entitlement.
Yes.
I think, and I think we see that a lot. They feel like they know you, even though you don't know them. They feel like they know you, especially for people who are, you know, in the invisible space, you know, for whatever reason. And they feel that they have the right to write rude things, to be mean.
And they will be emboldened if they receive response to their bullying. So if other people agree or add on, and then that
right.
sort of builds up their momentum, and then it becomes like a mob bullying one person.
And yes. I think, like Mariam said, the word she used, dehumanizing, I think that's one thing that becomes quite easy to do online,
yeah.
that you'd forget that the person on the other end of whatever you're throwing at them is a person with feelings.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so easy to reshare, so easy to tweet. So sometimes you don't even know what the situation is. You just read a few keywords, retweet, send, becomes viral,
Absolutely.
And then this whoever was the target of it just gets it. I just want to end with this, you know, is our own Sharad Kutan, former host of The Morning Run, sharing some thoughts on why he thought people bully. And it's got something to do with what you said just now, Shawi.
Well, the thing of trolls and online bullying, and I think, okay, real life bullying, and what you have, say, in the situation of...
Yeah, because normally...
So a mob, you know, a mob's when young boys, for instance, beat up on another boy, it's always a group, right? So it's always a crowd that does it. And there is something about the safety of being in a crowd when you unleash that kind of violence. And so the internet just amplifies it. What it seems to me is that, in fact, we see those traits in real life. What the internet and social media allow for is... a kind of serious and significant amplification of that phenomenon. So now you're joined with thousands of people to dump on somebody, to criticize them, to make them feel lousy and small. And as bullies do, they feel valued, they feel validated when they can bully somebody else, when they can make somebody else hurt or feel small and, you know, diminished.
We do have some pretty interesting responses that have come in about our poll question, which is that would quitting social media make you happier on Twitter? And so far, we've got 44% of people saying yes, 34% saying yes, but they can't let go, 22% saying no, it wouldn't make them happier. We have a K who WhatsApped us in, and he or she says, yes, it would make them happier. I deactivated Facebook for 1 week last month, and I discovered huge chunks of free minutes between places and tasks, used them for things like reading or simply observing where I was. Now that they're back, they only make me, while they're not as addicted, they still tend to scroll endlessly for posts after they've reactivated. Therefore, permanent deletion is their Facebook, is their New Year resolution. Good luck with that.
Yeah, I know.
We also got a response on WhatsApp that says, it is such a touche moment that you have a poll on quitting social media on a social media platform. Yes, that's because I think we belong to the category of, yes, it'll make us happier, but we just can't let go.
We must say, you know, that was not lost on us when we came up with that.
Yes, but the irony of it.
The irony of it all.
Well, you know, the internet is a wonderful place. Also, you know, like you said, Juliet, with Leslie Jones, she also received a lot of comments of support after she was bullied. And we have found that it is also a place for people to gather and share thoughts and where positive things can be born. So perhaps we all just aim to be nicer to each other.
Absolutely. Share us your thoughts via WhatsApp if you'd like, 018-789-8899. Take our poll on whether quitting social media would make you happier, or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Okay, we need to take a quick break now, but before that, here's the Four Tops with Reach Out, I'll Be There.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.